I'm from La Porte, Texas, and the city of La Porte did not have a school accommodations for black students beyond the eighth grade because of segregation. I also competed in a completely all-black league because whites and blacks could not compete against each other, or we could not play on the same teams. All of the major schools in Texas, the University of Texas, Texas A&M, Baylor, Rice, all of them, those schools were completely segregated against black athletes. None of the major schools that we know today, no black students could attend those universities. And so I'm very fortunate that I had a chance to go on to Michigan State University.
If they wanted to play what was considered big time football, they were going to have to go north. And Duffy Doherty knew this.
The high school coaches from Louisiana would come up to watch our spring game. And they would have to drive all night long through Mississippi so they could get through Mississippi without being pulled over for driving while black.
Duffy Doherty was basically in the process of finally fully integrating the game, that he was consciously going into the South, recruiting black players when no one else was doing it.
So throughout the South, he was well known to put on these coaching clinics, especially for the black coaches, because the black coaches could not participate in integrated coaching clinics. And so based upon that, I had that opportunity to go on to Michigan State.
In 1960, Doherty had 12 black players, and only one of them was from the South. 4 years later, in 1964, he has 21 black players, and 10 of them are from the South.
Duffy Doherty faced some criticism about that. The idea that the team was too black. There were people all across America who were watching this and saying, where is this going? Well, it was going to lead to a national champion.
And so all across the country, black fans are cheering for Michigan State. They are Black America's team. And much in the way the Dodgers were Black America's baseball team.
If you really stopped and started thinking about how good the players on the Michigan State team were, you'd probably want to go home and, you know, pull the blinds, the shades, lock the doors, and don't let anybody in.
The University of Alabama, my junior year, they were undefeated. And, of course, that's the same year we were undefeated. And, of course, the people down south felt that they, Alabama should be number one. It was against the law for Alabama to play integrated teams. But when you think about the South, if you think about Kentucky and LSU, all of those southern schools, most of them could not play black players because black students could not attend their universities.
For me, I've always grown up seeing African Americans playing football. So it never occurred to me, you know, when I thought about segregation, how that impacted professional sports or even college sports. But my dad's team was the first that actually looks like the teams we see today, to have 23 black players and 11 starters, a black quarterback. A lot of these things were pretty groundbreaking, and it's kind of mind-boggling because we're talking about like 1963.
We really looked at it as really being a team, a family type situation. The civil rights movement, we realized all of this was around us, if you will. But in the meantime, it was strictly more of a team type thing, and we were all in this together.
So 1964, 1965, those were all really important big years for sort of shifting the actual laws that supported segregation in the South and really moved forward the move to integrate.
We all lived in the dorms together with all of our teammates. And the family situation in terms of our playing football together, we took classes together, and all of this, of course, was very new to me in terms of attending classes in an integrated situation.
Being next to a white person in class was intimidating at first.
Cultural shock. You know, being in a classroom with 300 people, I couldn't grasp anything. It took us a while to find our stability.
But one of the things that pushed me more than anything was that I felt that I was just as good as anybody else in the classroom. I had been dealt a blow because of where I grew up, but I wasn't going to disappoint myself. I wasn't going to disappoint my family.
All the time I was at Michigan State, everything was still segregated in my hometown. We didn't want to go back home. Our home was East Lansing, Michigan.
The community that I was brought up in, if you will, they understood how important education was. Once I got to Michigan State, I felt right away there was a great family atmosphere. We didn't have the racial concerns, but we all came from completely segregated situations, and it really worked great that we were able to experience that, kind of what I experienced when I was growing up, because the community, my parents, everybody worked together just to make sure that education was always number one. It was never, sports was very important, but education was always the number one thing that we had to be concerned about.
There was a call that came into the football office. Congratulations, you have been drafted in the first round by the Minnesota Vikings. I said, well, who is this that I'm talking to? My name is Sid Hartman, and I'm with the Star Tribune here in Minneapolis. And then about 5 days later, the Vikings called me. The first person I told was Claudeth.
I said, who? He said, the Minnesota Vikings. So when we get married, you know, we'll be living in Minnesota.
That 67 class, they brought in a paradigm shift. Gene and I brought the same kind of energy that the guys brought to Michigan State.
When they came, we knew we had a team. We had Joe Capp from up in Canada and Gene Washington and John Henderson and Clinton Jones. And those guys were sprinters, fast and quick and good hands, and we just loved it.
It was a heck of a good team, and there really weren't any stars. So that attitude took us a long way.
Everybody wanted to be Chuck Foreman, Gene Washington, Fran Tarkenton, Jim Marshall, Carl Eller, the Purple People Eaters. That's who we grew up with. That's who we wanted to be.
It's nice to be recognized. I've been honored to be in the College Football Hall of Fame and a whole lot of honors that I've received. But the most important honor for me is that all of my daughters and there are several other people from my hometown, they have been able to move on with their education.
But in our case, it's you only have so many seconds that you can be successful or you can really mess up. But you also have another chance. If you mess up, you might have another chance to make up for that because you got a second down. Or you have a third down.
Michigan State influenced my life. I kind of knew, but I didn't know.
Well, but I knew.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't know like I know now. It didn't touch me in the way that it's touched me now.
They made a special recommendation. My dad came to Michigan State, and the rest is history just because of that one recommendation. So what I've been doing is trying to connect the dots for my generation.
I think we've come a long way, and I'm so grateful for my parents' generation, for everything that they worked hard to make sure that I would have opportunities that they didn't have. For me, it's been a blessing to really learn, okay, so how do we approach these next challenges? How do we promote the idea of equality? I feel like there's a lot to be learned from my dad's generation, sort of how they overcome real serious obstacles and confronted a lot of unfortunate injustice, you know, so that we could have the life that we have today, and especially for players in the league today.
I've been able to learn a lot about Maya, my daughter, in terms of how hard she's been working at this over these years. And
not bad, my first Rose Bowl.
She recognized my background, my contribution coming out of that completely segregated situation. And when I share stories with her in terms of how demeaning it was to be in segregation.
It's such a gift, and I'm so grateful not only that my dad and I got to have this really special time to grow in our relationship as a father and daughter, But to know that from a historical standpoint, this will be documented for future generations, and other people will have a chance to learn about my dad's story and the stories of many African American men who had similar journeys from segregation to opportunity, and how that came through sport.
I think that she has learned a lot in looking at my past and where I came from. It's much different. And I think that, and I'm so proud that we both have grown up together, if you will. And I'm so proud of it.